Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
That's the second time it's gone off.
They never go home, those boys.
And I said, I want to win the league, but I want to win it better. You can understand that, can't you?
Yes.
Good lad.
So he's almost like having a second captain in the team.
Second captain, first captain, whatever.
We love our golf majors, of course we do. But we also have to admit that a lot of the time, they don't quite live up to expectations. So what are those expectations, I hear you ask? Well, for us here on this sceptered isle, it's an Irishman or two having a good week. An Irish winner, obviously, would be amazing. A tight finish, a recognisable name at the top of the leaderboard. For every Shane Lowry at Portrush, there will, however, be a Webb Simpson at the US Open in 2012. You pays your money, you takes your chances. But the USPGA at Kiwa Island this year was an absolute barn burner. Shane Lowry, Padraig Harrington finishing joint fourth after having what appeared to be the most fun they've ever had on a golf course. That was absolutely amazing. And beyond that, a seriously good story in Phil Mickelson becoming the oldest major winner in history at the ripe old age of 50. Hello and welcome to this week's pod. Hello there, Ken.
Hello, Kieran. How are you?
I'm good. Now, listen, I know you were busy putting the final touches to your Irish Times column before then putting structure, punch, and unrivaled attention to detail to this morning's report on sport last night, so I'm sure you didn't catch too much of it. But I have to tell you, Ken, this was seriously, seriously good fun. Phil hit an approach shot to the 18th green and then got completely mobbed by fans walking down to the green. He called it exceptionally awesome. Those were his actual words, Ken. Mm-hmm. But his playing partner, Brooks Koepka, was not so impressed. It would have been cool if I didn't have a knee injury and got dinged a few times in the knee in that crowd because no one really gave a shit, said Koepka, who had surgery to deal with a kneecap dislocation and ligament damage on March the 16th. It's cool for Phil, but getting dinged a few times isn't exactly my idea of fun.
And so is he? Sorry, he's complaining about being jostled by fans.
By boozed up fans.
But yeah. It's not like anyone was really having it. It's just sort of the general, just the Brownian motion of a crowd.
That's exactly.
That's what he's complaining about.
Yeah, no one was like trying to get him in a headlock or anything.
And is he 70 years old or what's his story? What's his deal? Because Phil was the oldest. Obviously, this guy didn't win. Is he? What is he, in his 70s or 80s?
No. Brooks is he's in tremendous physical condition. I mean, I'm going to say he's 28 or 29.
Oh, right.
Which is a little embarrassing. I mean, not as embarrassing as me getting beaten by Mark Horgan's dad, who's, well, let's just say, over 75 the last time I played golf with him. I mean, not beaten in a, oh, here's the handicap kind of way. He went around the course in considerably fewer strokes than I did. But that's neither here nor there. I mean, I'm trying to think, when was the last time you sat down to watch a major golf championship? Was it that time that you tipped Justin Rose to win and then he lost a playoff at the Masters to Sergio Garcia? Have you watched another shot of golf after getting burned so badly that time?
The last time I remember watching some of a major in golf is that time that your man won it who bought the Dukes of Hazzard car. Bubba Watson.
Bubba Watson.
I think it would have been like 2012 or something like that.
He's won a couple of US Masters.
Did he win the Masters in 2012?
I think even more recently than that, Ken.
I honestly can't even remember anything about watching it other than the fact that I did watch it. So...
2012 and 2014. So whichever one of the, you reckon it was 2012.
Though. It was definitely 2012 because I was in Cambridge at the time watching it.
Safe to say you're not the biggest golf fan in the world. So, I mean, with on off today, I have to ask myself, who on earth could I discuss this with? You know, a close friend, a part of the show, you know? Wait a minute. I think I know just the guy. Brian Murphy, good morning.
What is up? Good morning from the United States of Mickelson, my friend.
You're on your way to work. Thank you for talking to us at 5 a.m. your time. Have you crossed the Golden Gate Bridge yet? That's your route to work every morning, isn't it?
By the way, you said 5 a.m. my time? How about 4:53 a.m. my time, buddy? Come on, don't slight that. When there's a 4 on the clock, you got to respect it, baby. So, no, I am not yet at the Golden Gate Bridge, but if our conversation... If our chat is entertaining enough, then maybe you and I will cross that bridge together, buddy. But right now, we're still winding our way through beautiful Southern Marin and Mill Valley, California here.
How huge a moment was last night in Phil's career? I mean, they were describing it over here on Sky as, without doubt, the sweetest win of all of his 45 PGA Tour wins.
You know, that's an interesting observation because you'd say the easy thing is to say, yes, of course, we're caught up in the moment. It was unbelievable. It was full of love, adulation, awe, admiration, cheers, tears, chaos, mob scenes, people grabbing people up the fairway. Brooks Koepka angry at his knee getting kicked, all those things. But you know what? I don't mean to spoil the party. But let's not forget how incredibly epic his 2004 Masters win was when Tiger Woods was ruling the universe with no end in sight. And he finally broke through to win not just a major, but to win the Masters, the green jacket, the mythical one. So in fairness, let's just put it right alongside his 2004 breakthrough Masters win. But if you want to make an argument that this one is better, because of Father Time and advancing age and calendars and mortality and all these things that hit our heads as we age and we realize that our time on Earth is limited here. I don't mean to get too metaphysical here on you here at 4:55 in the morning, but you could make an argument. Sure, I will open my ears to listen that it is his greatest. There's probably a little immediacy bias in that because the 2004 Masters is the other one that comes to mind, but certainly – in terms of surprise, upset value, meaning, you know, what was he, 100-1, I think, by the bookies? Yeah, so sure. I mean, I'm not going to argue with anybody who says that.
One of the more interesting graphics I saw during the broadcast last night was the record of players aged 50 and over that led overnight after 54 holes. And they all just fell away. The mental and physical toll was just too much for them. Some collapsed, others, you know, fell right at the final hurdle, like Tom Watson in 2009, wasn't it, in the British Open. So what do you think was different with Phil this time around for those guys of a more antique age?
Yeah, it's a good question because it's not unheard of that a player in his 50s can do it. Now, it's super rare, and you mentioned Watson in 2009 is the one that came to everybody's mind last night, and Phil was even asked about it after the round, and he said that kid was in his mind, and he said he was inspired by that, as we all were, and in many ways, that remains one of the great stories of golf of our generation of the last 20 years, for sure. But I believe Fred Couples in 2012 was over age 50 and led to the 2012 Masters. So we've seen a little bit of it before, but to your question as to why was Phil different, I think, well, obviously he gets a huge amount of credit, his talent and his ability to, for example, on the 17th hole, when he gooses that shot into the Kiowa weeds, the swampy reeds and weeds of Kiowa Island that could fell a lesser man. But you forget that Phil Mickelson is one of the most gifted human beings to ever pick up a golf club. And that classic little punch out there, instead of skidding one across the green into the water, that classic little punch out to leave himself a little 25-footer for a safe bogey reminded you of his incredible hands and his incredible talent. And that 50 isn't 59. I mean, Watson was 59 and Couples was 52. The other part of it is not Phil. Here on the other part is what we're witnessing, and we've talked about this in other aspects, and that is just the advances in nutrition advice, the advances in weight training, the advances in cardio training, the advances in yoga training, the advances in how human beings take care of their bodies is coming full flower now. And we talked just right about Tom Brady right now. I mean, Tom Brady in February is doing things we've never seen. Phil Mickelson in May does something we've never seen. So it's not a coincidence now. We have now, we're just evolving in terms of longevity of our athletes. And it's really, really neat to see. We sort of have to adjust our parameters now. No longer are they. I mean, there was a funny graphic on US TV of the oldest winners of majors ever. And it was, of course, Jack Nicklaus, 1986 Masters, the famous shot of him on 17. Julius Boros, 1968 US PGA. I was in diapers. I don't remember. And then there was old Tom Morris. And the picture they had of him was hilarious. He looked like he was 175 years old. And it said he was 46 years old. And the big joke going around was, is that to old Tom Morris at age 46? Because we gotta get that guy to the gym, man. But the point of the joke was that it clearly, Mickelson, I mean, Nicklaus, when he's making that putt at 17, he's raising his putter up. You can see the bulge of his gut straining against his golden berry yellow polo shirt. And Mickelson spoke at length yesterday after the round about how he has sacrificed a lot, both specifically in nutrition. He said, somebody asked him, what's the biggest thing you sacrificed to get to this mountaintop? And he said, food. Like, he's completely changed what he puts in his body. And go just look at him. I mean, listen, I'm not saying he's Mr. Olympia or Arnold Schwarzenegger in Cup and Iron, but he certainly looks better now than he did just even a few years ago. So we're seeing these advances. It's coming right in front of our face. And you put it in the hands of a guy like Mickelson down the stretch. It's really neat to see these evolutions play out right in front of our eyes.
Brian, you've got 4 hours of broadcasting to do. I better leave you to it. But thanks so many, brother, for speaking to us at this ungodly hour.
Well, we made it to 5:01, and we're almost at the Golden Gate Bridge, Aaron, but it was a pleasure for you to take me here at anytime.
Modern day coaching. What is it all about? Paralysis by analysis. Infiltrated by a load of spoofers and bluffers. Fellas with earpieces stuck in their ears. Psychologists, Clive Woodward, statisticians, dietitians. And as Mick O'Connell alluded to, God save us.
Wow, Ken. Imagine being that enthusiastic at 5 a.m. in the morning. It really is an extraordinary thing. Anyway, Ken, we have some international football to look forward to. No, not the European Championships. I'm talking about the real good stuff. Ireland friendlies in June. Bossman Steele was in front of the press today.
Yes, he was indeed. And
he named a squad for Andorra and Hungary.
He did. And the squad includes some new faces. Danny Mandrew, Shamrock Rovers, is called in for these friendlies. Andrew Amobamadeli of Norwich is also called up. Chidozie Ogbeni of Rotherham and Jamie McGrath of St Mirren.
Formerly St. Pat's, of course.
Indeed. Well, they're the new players. So what has Stephen Kenny had to say about them? Well, he said Jamie McGrath is a gradual improver, technically excellent, good feet, 17 goals for St. Mirren this year. Very creative player, different type of player to the MFers that we have. That's midfielders in my shorthand. Andrew Amobamadeli, Stephen Kenny said, terrific at Norwich, accelerated into squad much quicker than anticipated, only 18 years of age, extremely composed, extremely athletic, gone into Norwich first team, not out of place. He has played like most of the games, or all the games for Norwich in April and May. That's kind of when he broke through, and he's kind of seems to have cemented a place in the team, at least for the end of this season. We'll see what happens next season, but it's been a great end to the season for him. Dan Mandrew,
he's 18 years old.
Yes.
Wow.
He's, in fact, he was born 1 week after Ireland's last match in the World Cup finals.
Wow. He's never experienced Ireland at the World Cup, even as a child.
Not as a born child, no. Not as a child in the world, no.
Yeah.
He
was pretty well cooked at that stage, to be fair. I mean, it was only a week, but
yeah,
but nevertheless, I mean, the date of birth is the date of birth at the end of the day, Ken.
Yeah, look, we must be due an appearance at the World Cup Finals one of these years. Tom Andrew in squad because he has very high technical ability. Incredible. And look, these are not my words, these are the words condensed of Stephen Kenny. Incredibly creative passer, capable of scoring goals from outside the box, more mature than when he was at Brighton. Physically and mentally better, more mature. Chidozie Igbene, great season with Rotherham 2 seasons ago in League One. Very fast, powerful right winger, very quick. We don't really have that type of player. So interested to get a look at Chidozie Igbene as well. James McCarthy, however, not in the squad. What's that all about? Because if you had been watching the Liverpool Palace match yesterday, eagle-eyed viewers might have spotted James McCarthy running about in the Crystal Palace strip. Seems he's able to play for Palace, but not. And it was mentioned that he's one of the 15 Crystal Palace players out of contract this summer. So what Stephen Kenny said there was, I mean, look, you know, it does seem as though, you know, there are players who will absolutely smash through brick walls to play for Ireland, and then there are players who, you know, will kind of try to get themselves right first. And James McCarthy is in the second category of that, you know, to manage yourself.
He wouldn't want to disrespect the jersey by showing up in less than optimum playing condition.
Well, he has done that a couple of times. Remember, he suffered bad injuries playing for Ireland. Even against Slovakia, he tweaked his hamstring after an hour in that game, according to Stephen Kenny, only recently back in the team. Played 88 minutes yesterday, sure, but now he's out of contract. So I guess the question with McCarthy is, you know, do you play a friendly against Andorra, risk, you know, busting your knee up and actually not getting another job? Or do you try to sort out your club situation, you know, try to look after yourself and so on? You know what I mean?
That does make a modicum of sense, I have to say.
I mean, he's in the sort of situation Wijnaldum is in, I suppose. Isn't Wijnaldum going to the Euros without any apparent contract in place for next season? Going to play some pretty high-level football. But I guess he's backing himself to not get injured. James McCarthy maybe can't afford to take those types of risks. Anyway, he won't be involved in these squads. So who else? Ryan Manning and Conor Harahan are named in the squad, although they won't actually join up until they've played the playoff final. So, okay, it's Randolph, Kelleher, Bazunu, Coleman, Doherty, Leo Connor, McLean, Manning, Duffy, Shane Duffy, Dara O'Shea, John Egan, Amaba Medeli, Josh Cullen, Conor Harahan, Harry Arthur, Jason Knight, Jason Malumbi, Jamie McGrath, Danny Mandrew, Callum Robinson, rather, James Collins, Adam Ida, Aaron Connolly, Troy Parr, Chidozie Igbene, Ronan Curtis, and Daryl Horgan. So that is the squad.
Okay.
Meanwhile, happier countries are naming their squads for the Euros. Two things of note. First of all, that Germany, it now turns out, I mean, I saw their squad, and they present basically a list of defenders and then a list of midfielders/attackers. So it seems as though in Germany, those two categories have just fused into the one giant category and includes everyone from, you know, Toni Kroos to Serge Gnabry. They're all basically the same type of player, according to Germans. Of course, the significant thing there is the return of Thomas Müller and Mats Hummels, who had been booted out in a show of managerial strength. Yogi Löw flexing his muscles, and now he's had to sort of get back in his box and welcome back these great, great tournament players for Germany. It's not a case that his power has wasted away and the players have taken control. Of course not.
No,
it's not like that.
We would never say such a thing.
No.
Speaking of big tournament-winning characters, though, Ken, I can't help but notice. Well, no Sergio Ramos.
Well, this is the really amazing thing. I mean, this was, we had been leaving this to last. This is the biggest news in football of the day, which is that Luis Enrique has named his Spain squad, and he has not included a single player from Real Madrid, which is the first time in history this has ever happened. And needless to say, that means that Sergio Ramos, the great, the record holder for Spain, the record caps winner, you know, the World Cup and European Championship winner, the multiple Champions League winner. You know, I'm just going to come right out and say it. The greatest Spanish player of his generation, as far as he's concerned. Sure, there might be another couple of players from Barcelona who would dispute that honor. But the fact is, Sergio Ramos is the iconic, let's say, Spanish player of his generation. And he's not going to be going to these European Championships because Luis Enrique has left him out, even though he can name 26 players and he's only named 24. He is saying, I would rather have two holes in the air than Sergio Ramos or indeed any other Real Madrid player. You know, Marco Asensio is not going to Euro 2021. Nacho is not going to Euro 21. Vasquez obviously is injured. Carvajal's been injured for a while. But Sergio Ramos left out. And let's say this hasn't gone down very well. Because it does seem kind of crazy. Like, if you can name 26, why do you only name 24?
Well, I'm going to say, if you've no intention of playing Sergio Ramos in the team, how good a fella around the hotel is Sergio Ramos going to be?
Yeah. I mean, I know what you're saying. And I mean, this clearly is why he has left him out. I mean, you know, it's evidently that he just feels is Eric Garcia is in the squad and Sergio Ramos is not. You know, I mean, to be honest, if I'm picking defenders, it doesn't really matter if Sergio Ramos is 35. I'm probably going to pick him ahead of Eric Garcia, unless I'm thinking, I'm not really picking a defender here. I'm picking a non-playing reserve. Now, what are the qualities that are important for a non-playing reserve? And who between Sergio Ramos and Eric Garcia has more of those qualities?
Eric Garcia is polite and seldom late.
Yeah, so really, you know, this plan should be fine. See, the other part of this plan, the other thing that's happened here is that Aymeric Laporte has become Spanish. That's the key point here, because we had previously thought of him as being French.
The young fella makes me so angry.
As he was the captain of a bunch of French underage sides and so on and so forth. And, you know, he had previously been called into the French squad, but hadn't obviously played for any actual competitive games. He has decided to switch. He has now become Spanish, and I guess at a stroke, he's almost gone to the top of the pecking order. If Sergio Ramos isn't fit, which Luis Enrique is maintaining he's not, then Laporte suddenly is our number one guy. So it's pretty sensational. And I mean, it's obviously, I'd love to know more about Luis Enrique. I'd love to find out. I can't wait to find out more about his thinking here, because it is literally turning around and giving the biggest two fingers I've ever seen to Real Madrid. Like, this is, you know, there's your man Tomas Roncero.
Listen, Chiringuito is going to be lit tonight.
We cannot wait to see. cannot wait to see this. But like, you know, they are going to, you know, your man Roncero is like, it's a betrayal. It's a betrayal of Madridismo. And I'm like, he's actually correct this time. I know that he says everything is a betrayal. Everything is a betrayal of Madridismo. However, this genuinely is a betrayal of Madridismo. And I find it a fascinating, ballsy move by Luis Enrique. And I can't wait to hear more about his thinking behind it.
Yeah. So much good stuff coming up in the next couple of weeks, including another player's chair with Richie Sadler. And any of you who heard his incredible chat with Liam Hayes last week will be looking forward to that. And there's a return next week of this.
And who wrote it?
I can't remember his name.
I'll tell you who wrote it.
Yes, it's Jack McCaffrey talking to Ken and I about Fever Pitch by Nick Hornby. The book has been read by all the parties concerned. We have penciled in our recording date, and we will bring it to you next week on the Second Captain's World Service. So if you haven't yet, maybe you'd think about signing up for €5 a month plus VAT. Just go to secondcaptains.com/join, and we'd love to have you along. Thank you, Ken.
Thank you, Kieran.
Thank you, US Murph. Thanks a million for listening, and we'll chat to you on the World Service tomorrow.
What phone is that? That's the second time it's gone off.
They never go home, those boys.
It is not war and death and famine, it's not that at all. It's the opposite of that. It's the persuasion of the world outside of that. That's why sport's important.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode, and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.